My name is John McNabb. I'm presenting on vulnerabilities of wireless water meter networks. I won't read all this, but the quick summary is I come from this from a water-centric position. I ran a local water department outside Boston for 13 years. And one of the last things we did when I was there was look at wireless water meters. And to be honest, when we were looking at them and I was pushing adopting wireless water meters, I never thought of security. So after I left, I was thinking, gee, maybe I should look into these things a little more. Last year, I gave a talk here on cyber terrorism and the security of the national drinking water infrastructure, which is a basic overview of physical and cyber vulnerabilities of the entire drinking water infrastructure of the country. Short story is any individual water plant is vulnerable for a number of reasons, but the entire infrastructure isn't because it's fragmented. They're not connected like the electric grid is. But one potential area of entry is, of course, any wireless networks that they may have, and this will focus on the wireless water meter networks. I presented this at Black Hat a few days ago, and my white paper, part of my white paper is going to be published in a book, Weapons of Mass Destruction and Terrorism, second edition, when it comes out next year. The book is a collection of papers on that topic. And interestingly enough, Hacker Japan was very interested in my talk last year, interviewed me for 3 hours after my presentation, and I was the cover story in their March 2011 edition. So I'm very popular in Japan, apparently. I tried to read the article, but I don't know what it says about me, so presumably it's positive. So what this talk is about, water meters, obviously, what they're used for. It's not going to be as much as a deep dive, as I said in the abstract. I'll get to that later. But I'm looking at what they are, what they're used for, what they could be used for, what the potential avenues of attack are potentially, what the concerns are, the issues involved. And the need for this is that while they're not a major part of water departments across the country right now, they're increasing. The use of them is increasing. And I'll get into that as well. I give a very detailed analysis of the overall drinking water infrastructure in my Black Hat white paper, which you can email me. My address is in the first slide. It's also on the last slide. It's on in the PDF in your CD, and I'll send you a copy of the white paper. Okay, the water meter is the cash register, to oversimplify. It's money to the water department. So it's for you as the homeowner, it's how they determine your water bill. From the previous reading, the difference between the previous reading and the current reading is the amount in gallons or cubic feet, and then it's applied to the water rates, and that's how they determine the usage part of your water bill. Overall, annually, it's about $40 billion a year that water utilities take in, mostly from the results from water meters. Not all systems are metered, but in the U.S., most systems are. Strangely enough, in the other parts of the world, water meters are not a common occurrence. But in the U.S., almost every water department has water meters to determine the usage. The alternative would be a flat rate or a fixture fee, which is a flat rate applied to how many faucets and toilets and so on you have in your house. The disadvantage of that is it doesn't properly account for the usage, and so it's harder for the water department to recover the cost of producing the water, which is what the water rate is really all about. And I could get into further analysis, which is very interesting. When your water commissioner is trying to figure out how to set the rate, you have to set it to not just cover your day-to-day expenses, but also for your capital maintenance on an ongoing basis. And that's a big problem nationally as well. Average monthly water bills range greatly. And it depends upon local practices, what the local government authority decides to adopt. And there's really no consistency in what rates are across the country. This one? Okay. So what could go wrong? outside of the fact that meters sometimes just break, they get clogged over years with what we politely call sediment, which could be any solid matter in the water pipes. And for certain types of meters, that can lower the readings. It can slow down the process of accounting for the water. But there's also theft. The electric utilities assume about 10% theft or loss from theft or bypassing meters. And there's no similar statistic for the water industry. And again, it would depend upon jurisdiction to jurisdiction. So it's theft of services in general, which whatever utility deals with is a serious issue, because any dollar they don't collect to help recover the cost of operations and capital maintenance, they have to get from somewhere, so it increases the rates for everyone else. And also bad practices of meters can cause a problem. Brockton, Massachusetts, for example, just conducted the city council had an audit of their water department after the water department realized that over the last 15 years they hadn't been reading the meters properly and that they'd been undercharging people. And so they unwisely decided to give people retroactive bills going back 10, 15 years, which I went through that inadvertently in my town, and it's not fun. People do not like retroactive bills, and I think the legality, but it's questionable wherever you are. And they were handing out bills like $90,000, $97,000. So as you imagine, the citizenry got up in arms and got the city council to look into it, and the audit revealed that for 15 years, most of the meters hadn't even been read. You could read them. You could send the meter reader around and read them, but they weren't reading them. They're giving estimated bills that had no relation to how much water was going in. And gee, that's why they had fiscal problems. And they weren't using the billing process properly. So there's a lot the water department can get wrong without, you know, malicious third parties getting involved. Clearly, that's not just the hackers or the malicious third parties, but we'll look at all those issues, actually, in terms of water meters. Very briefly, water meter. I want to do some technical stuff here, I guess, but I won't go through all this in detail. The most common type of meter, there's displacement, velocity, ultrasonic, electromagnetic, which are my favorite. We were trying to adopt those in my town because the water just flows through the meter. It's not stopped by a disc that turns around or something that detects the velocity of the water. So that the electromagnetic flow meters using Faraday's law of induction are less susceptible to being clogged, as you might imagine. But the most common type used in the United States is a positive displacement meter that uses a nutating disc, which is just a disc that spins around, and so they know how much is in that area of the water meter that the disc turns around, and every time it turns around, it registers a certain amount, which appears on a dial. And there's many different kinds of registers, we call them. This is one common type that basically has an odometer type readout and then a dial. And after the dial goes around one turn, then it clicks on the far right part of the odometer. This is the old fashioned historical one that's still out there in millions of homes across the United States that uses a mechanical process for both detecting the amount of water and reporting it. This is generation one, perhaps. But now there are, you know, we're up to generation three that I'll get to later and some improvements. So data collection methods, I could go into great detail, but we don't need all the detail here. But to make a long story short, eyeball, there's an eyeball right there. So you send a meter reader in, they knock on the door, they go in the house, they go down the basement, they find the water meter. Of course, they've been there before, hopefully, so they know where it is. They get through the stuff in the basement, and they put a flashlight on it, and they read the register. And again, that's still what's being used in millions of homes across the United States. So the meter reader has to write that. Usually it's handwritten. They have a sheet, and they handwrite it down. And then when they get back, after they do everything in the route, they go back to the plant, and then someone types it in or handwrites it down, and then they type it again. So you get lots of opportunity for human error. You can also have computer error, but this is mostly a human error type of problem. Then to get more to computerization, you've got the walk-by. So you attach, even on these older meters, there are like two or three wires you can attach a reader to it that then drill a hole and goes to the outside of the building. And we call it a gun. It's a handheld computer that's only purpose is to read the meter. So you put the gun on the device at the outside of the house, and it electronically downloads the information. And so after the meter reader's done his entire route, so he still has to walk to the house, but he doesn't have to get in. So that reduces the problem of having estimated readings when you can't get into the house, which still occurs. Some people don't want to have their meters read for some reason. So what we did in my town is we gave them estimated readings of like $5,000, and that got them to come to the water plant to say, hey, what are you doing? And we said, well, we just need to read your meter. And then they say, okay, fine.
Otherwise, we can't charge them $5,000. But that's a way of getting their attention. So the town council might have got involved in that, but we didn't have that many, and it worked. So we abated the $5,000, and then we, you know, give them the proper bill. Then there's drive-by, which is getting closer to what we're really talking about. So instead of having the meter reader go to the, put the gun, it sends a signal out that can be reached from the street, or there are varying ranges for these things, and it's just automatically downloaded as they go by. So that's getting us closer to the ideal of a smart meter or a meter network, which is our next slide, is a fixed network. And this is what you hear about on the smart grid. The water smart grid, if you can call such a thing, or the water smart meter is the little sister or brother of the electric smart grid, which is moving faster and being developed more frequently across the country and across the world. So actually, to research this, there wasn't much out there on the water smart grid, so I'm adapting a lot of things from the electric smart grid and fixed network architecture, which is basically being copied for the water and for gas and anything else that is a utility provision. So instead of having a drive-by, the signal, of course, goes out everywhere, and depending upon the topology and the size of the community, if you're lucky, they can all be received at the administrative headquarters or where the billing center is located, and all be collected there. In most cases, even in small towns, you've got geography problems. It's tough to depend on the signal getting there all the time. You can set up repeaters. You can do a mesh network in the long run, or you set up aggregators so that Washington, D.C. does this. They have aggregators, so the water meter sends the signal out using RF, radio frequency transmission, and then it goes to an aggregator in the neighborhood or that area of the town, of the city of Washington, D.C., and then it's sent by cell phone to the water plant, to the billing system. There's a lot of different means for sending the signal automatically. RF is the most frequent, but it's also cell phones. Power lines are used by electric utilities, obviously, but for some reason are not used in water in the U.S. As a means of sending a signal. That's another possibility. Cable is another one. So without getting into the technicalities of the different means, I'm going to be focusing a little later on the most common one, which is radio frequency, which is also one hopefully we can do something with. The other key thing about the fixed network is that it can allow two-way communication. Now, with electric systems, smart grids, that gets very interesting when you also add to it a home area network, which might have been talked about in the talk previous to this that I wasn't able to see because I was getting ready for this. But home area networks are very interesting because it's the Internet of Things. Every electric appliance in the house has an IP address or is connected to a central controller that the homeowner can presumably control, but also the utility can control to turn things on and off, to deal with power surges or reduce the use of things that aren't actually being used when they've got a heavy load, things like that. No one's really talking about that for water, for obvious reasons, because it's mechanical issues. You can't really do the same thing, but it gets into interesting questions that I'll get to a little later. So the topology isn't very interesting. It's probably conceptually a star. But the key thing is two-way communication. So suddenly your water bill can be read almost any time. Instead of every quarter with the walk-by or even the drive-by, it can be monthly, it can be daily, it can be hourly, every 5 minutes. You can put any household, anybody on your network on any schedule you want, basically. The trick is, how much information do you want to get, and do you really know what you're going to want to do with it? So that gets us a lot of advantages in terms of information collection. The benefits of the these terms, AMR, automatic meter reading, AMI, advanced metering infrastructure, and smart grid, are sort of fluffy. You could be talking about one when someone else thinks you're talking about the other. Automatic meter reading is mostly could be the walk-by. That's not really advanced metering infrastructure, but we're going to focus from now on the fixed network system, which is smart grid or AMI for water. So it lowers the meter reading cost. It theoretically owes better accuracy, even though that's what they say. In many cases, you'll see if you do some research like I did that a lot of people have higher bills or the bills don't make any sense with the electric, with the wireless readings. It's better for the water utility in terms of helps resolve bill disputes because the computer never lies. You can just say that's what the computer said. And better customer service in terms of if someone comes back from vacation and they think they had a leak, someone at the plant can actually look at, here's what the readings were while you were away or while they're home. It's more information that can be used to help the consumer better understand what they're using for water. Maybe help them do better water conservation. It helps the water utility keep better track. These two charts on the right are very interesting in terms of showing examples of how the water utility can use the information even on a daily basis on the top graph. So the water utility has an outdoor watering restriction. And see that black line? That's when someone evaded it by turning, by putting your automatic sprinklers on in violation of the restriction. So right before you have the automatic meters, you could find that out if you drove around and saw that was on. And you could do something about it, but you can't catch them all that way. This is an easier way of doing it. You could presumably set up the software to give you an alert, for that. And then leak detection is the main reason why I was pushing for it in my, water department years ago was that, if you set it for daily or hourly or, pick an interval, at some point, if there's no leak, it's gonna go to zero at some point. Because there are many times when no one's flushing a toilet, no one's turning a faucet, you're not running the washing machine or the dishwasher. So if it never goes to zero, you suspect there's a leak and you can go further from that. So, it's got a lot of uses to the water utility. And the growth, right now going to the second to last bullet, only about 7% of water utilities in the United States have what we'd call smart meters, the AMI, the wireless water meters that we're talking about. But looking at the studies that have come out, looking at the entire smart grid for water, gas, electric, it's projected to explode, to make major increases in the next 10 years. And that's mainly because California is ahead of the curve because they have a state mandate to reduce water consumption 20% by the year 2020, which is quite a chore, actually. After you eliminate water, unnecessary water uses like watering lawns, it gets tough to fine-tune the water use. And so this is a useful tool for the water utility and for the homeowner in California to keep track of the water use and reduce it as much as they can. So looking at the information that we're talking about, what are the benefits? Digging deeper for the information that the water utility can get. So obviously it's part of the billing record. That's what it's for. That's the major reason it's for. Leak loss analysis, but also allows them to look at the usage. So when's the peak usage? What part of town uses the peak, does the peak usage come from? Maybe there's an issue there they can look at. Maybe it helps them plan the running of the plant and the withdrawal of water from the source if they know better what the peaks and the valleys are. Hour to hour, minute to minute, throughout the water district. Conservation, I mentioned a few times. Feedback directly to the consumer, so there's a potential benefit with the consumer. And this is from a report from California, and it's almost essential in California for the utilities to tell the state what they're doing or not doing to meet the mandate. So, summing it all up, the wireless water meter is an embedded device. It's a node in a sensor network, I'll get to. It's a data information collection device. That's why I'm talking about it at an IT security conference. It's not just a mechanical device that deals with water. It's an information collection device. It's an electronic cash register. Now instead of the old metallic one that I showed an earlier slide. And it allows for better conservation. And of course, could it be Big Brother? So it's hard getting a handle on, looking at a water meter because there's so many different kinds. There's about over two dozen manufacturers. That pie chart is from a study looking at some estimates of market share. Itron and Neptune are the biggest ones. There's also Sensus, Badger, Hexagram. Those are ones that I've done some research on. But it's a big field to try to get a handle on because there's you know, at least this many manufacturers. They have different models. They have different types of meters. Some of them are the transceivers that can go on an existing meter. Some are ones that were the transceivers built in already to the meter. So there's a lot of variety here, because there's no standards really. They need to meet the American Water Works Association standards for proper operation of a water meter. But as far as I know, that doesn't address the wireless portion or a lot of the issues that I'm talking about. And as I mentioned earlier, they can deal with a lot of different transmission methods, phone lines, cable, power lines, radio frequency, or a combination of the two. And again, the most predominant one is power lines. Checking my time. So looking into, how are they put together? What is the technology and the engineering used? And again, I won't read all this, but patent information is very, very useful. So I bought a couple water meters on eBay and transceivers, and one of the ones I got was a Sensus MXU Model 550, and they're very helpful in actually printing the patent number on the outside of the casing. So I took the thing apart, and I'm afraid to say I didn't get very far, but I took it apart, identified, you know, as much as I could what the different parts were, and here they're described. We've got an Intel 8050 family integrated circuit. We got a 1 kilobit EEPROM. It gives the description in the third bullet for what the interrogation mode is, what information is sent out and received. So I'm still going through this patent and some other ones and trying to pick a number of water meters to really dig into. But you can see it's mostly off-the-shelf components. Not many people are designing specific hardware or software for the water meter. They're using off-the-shelf chips, processors, EEPROMs, and transceivers, as it turns out. So looking generally in part of my research, I realized that a water AMR, AMI, smart meter, smart grid is a type of wireless sensor network, which is a large network of resource-constrained sensor nodes with multiple preset functions, such as sensing and processing. So the sensor node, of course, is the water meter. And the major characteristics of a water meter and a sensor node in a wireless sensor network is low power processor, and that's true in our case, low energy. They have batteries that are usually good from 5 to 20 years. There are some models coming out now that actually, you know, plug in and use AC power, but for the most part they use batteries because you never really know where it's going to be placed when you produce it. And even if it's someone's basement, you can't guarantee there's going to be an AC power near it. So they depend on battery power. So it's low energy and small memory, 1 kilobit. You know, sometimes you can have 4 kilobits of EEPROM. So not much you can do here with software, perhaps. So looking at wireless sensor networks in general, there's a lot of literature on this. You can get off the web. A lot of computer scientists looking at what are wireless sensor networks. What are the potential attacks? What are the potential defenses? And it's really a taxonomy of all the, you know, everything that we're used to looking at for networks. Active versus passive, outsider versus inside, Moat class versus, Moat class is attacking from an actually sensor node or water meter. So I think a laptop class is probably more useful where you're using a laptop with the right receiver and software and you're getting into the network. So the bad things you could do are interrupting the signal. Again, this is in general for water sensor networks. Interception, modification, replay. And the countermeasures, again in general, but applies here as well, basically boils down to authentication, encryption, which you don't see in a lot of low power, low memory, low processing ability wireless nodes. And again, that's the case we see in water meters as well. So why would anybody want to hack into a water meter? I mean, you know, that's really what started my questioning, you know, looking into this is, you know, how could you abuse this? And it's maybe not as interesting as an electric meter or some of the other things, many of the other things that people at this conference talk about, but there are things that need to be looked into. Could you reduce your water bill? Could you increase someone else's water bill? Could you steal water, the theft of service, which right now is being done so well in many utilities by just mechanical means? I mean, the good old-fashioned method, you put the meter in backwards. We see that occasionally. You bypass the meter. So you get someone who knows how to do plumbing and you just go around the meter. You find that a lot out there. But this is a more sophisticated way, if it can be done, to actually, you know, do a man in the middle potentially and give the wrong information to the water department. Evade water restrictions. Very important thing. In my community, when you had water restrictions, people get very hot under the collar that they can't water their lawn. And, some of them think they have a God-given right to water their lawn and use the water. And the water department usually doesn't mind because they're paying for the water and they can afford to pay for the water. But again, if you have a water restriction because you have a problem with the supply, you don't really, everyone's got to obey it. So if you want to evade the water restrictions and you want to gamble that someone's not, from the water department's not going to drive by and see that you're doing that with the outside sprinkler, you just, you know, if you can do it, you change the readings that they get from your wireless water meter, and they're none the wiser. Could it be used for surveillance of human activity in the home? And I deal with the top ones in some degree a little later in here. The unanswered questions are, could you use it to get into the SCADA system, the control system that runs the plant? That's a very interesting question, since we know from talks at Black Hat and other talks here and stuff in the news, and viruses like Stuxnet, that the control systems, and that's what that picture is. That's a control system at my plant, which was running on an XP, SP2 machine, I believe, unpatched. And that's usually what you find because they think they're off the internet, so they don't have to apply, you know, patches and virus protection and so on. That would just get in the way. So it'd be interesting if so the wireless water meter network only goes into the billing system, right? And the billing and the office system is never connected to the SCADA system, right? Well, actually, about half of them are. In polling, it's been done in the last couple of years or not. I don't know the answer to the question. It's a further research into whether that's a potential entry into that screen right there and changing the operation of the plant. Could you use it to get into other smart grid networks? There's a move to integrating water and gas smart grids into electric. And you could get a lot more bang for your buck if you're hacking into the water system, if you could also hack into the electric or the gas and do something nefarious there. So again, that's another question that is further down the line. So what could the evil consumer do? Theft of services. So we all know about the illegal cable descramblers, which bypass the legal system that you're supposed to pay for. Also, there have been news reports that in China, people are getting arrested for creating a device, and I can't get much information on this. If anybody knows how to get one, I'd like to see one. But it's presumably a box of some point that either goes on your electric meter in China or does a man in the middle. They're not describing it very much. And lowers your electric rates. Could somebody, you know, attack the wireless water meter system and, you know, presumably with a box that someone like us would build, and lower their water rates or give you control over everything that's being told to the water utility so you could evade the water restrictions or, steal money from the water department and steal water. It's both. So the effect of the water utility is bad, of course. Especially if they don't notice it, that suddenly the revenues are going down. Their master meter at the plant shows they're still sending out the same amount of water, more or less, but they're getting less revenue for the same amount of water going out. Gee, maybe there's a lot of leaks out there. Maybe there's a lot of illegal connections. So it's a possibility. Of course, it can be detected because even the wireless water meters have a register that you can, usually it's an LCD at this point for the more modern ones, where you can go down and actually physically read it. And then presumably you could, on some of the models, you can go to it and download directly from the meter what the readings were and get a better idea. So there's a way around it for the water utility, but if a lot of people are doing this, it's hard to find out and control. Could it be used for terrorists or adversaries trying to do damage? So I'm just speculating here. Could it be used to collect information to help them build a hydraulic map, say, of the water system? Because in my talk last year and in my white paper, the current state of analysis of potential physical security problems for water utilities are that the most vulnerable part of a water utility is the distribution system, where it's not monitored, really. You get hundreds of miles of pipes. You get hundreds, if not thousands, of fire hydrants in a big city. You got hundreds of thousands of connections and valves and blow-off areas where someone can get into the system. And it's relatively easy, if you know the hydraulics of the system, and you know what's going to happen, that you can inject poison into the water system at a sufficient pressure to overcome the pressure of the system, and then spread poison throughout the city. So that's a question. That's still a question. More information is always useful if you're going to do an attack, obviously. So that's just a question. Disruption is more likely in a lot of places like California that are serious about water conservation, but also in other places that want an easy way to turn water on and off remotely, say when an apartment dweller comes and goes, or a seasonal somebody has a seasonal rental, and you need to turn the water on when someone comes and turn it off when they leave. There's something called WaterCop, is one brand name. It attaches near the meter, and it can be remotely turn the water on and off. So that may or may not be on the backhauled on the same signal as the water meter, but there you go. There's a whole other area of attack. So, for example, you know, what if you could shut off the water? That's not poisoning the water, but it's definitely a serious disruption. The major threat that conceptually that water utilities are facing from terrorists are poisoning the water supply. Al-Qaeda has threatened many times to do so. People question whether they have the capability to do that and whether it's high on their list, but it's definitely something they've threatened. Water meters don't really help them in that regard, unless there's a recon component to it. But the smart grid for electricity is very wormable, as somebody said. I don't know if that's a word. But Thanasis Giannetsos gave a talk at Black Hat Spain last year, where he developed a wireless sensor attack tool called Sensis, for electric grid primarily, and it's for 2.5 gigahertz transmissions. And it's a very sophisticated tool that he demonstrated to spread a worm through an electric grid. IOActive did something similar. They presented at Black Hat USA 2009. And this is a picture at the bottom from the, you can go into YouTube and you can see their demonstration. So all the green dots or nodes are the unowned nodes on the electric grid, and the red ones are the ones that are owned. And it's great, you can run the thing and it starts all green and then it turns all red. It was simulated. They didn't do it in a real environment, obviously. So no one's done that for the water grid yet, but it's a lot of the same off-the-shelf hardware and software. It's a lot of the same techniques, so it could be just as wormable. But the biggest concern that I've seen out there that we need to consider is Big Brother, the evil water utility. So even if there's no adverse third parties out there, no one's trying to poison the water or shut it off, some people are concerned that now the water department's going to know more about what you do. I know as formerly running a water department, I don't really care what you do. I want to know how much water you're using so I can charge you the right amount. But these quotes are from the Cary, North Carolina Watchman, a newspaper that's online. And so they're concerned that information about our private lives will be known to the water department staff. You know, when you take a shower, when you water the plants, wash the dishes. Honestly, when I was starting to do this research, I didn't think this was a big thing. But when you look into it, there are a lot of people perhaps legitimately concerned that private information is going to leak out. Now, the water utility is going to know it, obviously. I don't know if, you know, why they'd use it except, of course, to enforce conservation. So if they see, hey, Joe, you're flushing the toilet 5-6 times a day, I don't want to know why, but, you know, can you cut that down? Maybe they do know why. It's a concern that people have, however legitimate it is, but it may be legitimate. So this chart is developed from a chart and a report on privacy with the electric smart grid. So I just changed any time I said the word electric to water. And again, this is speculation. I haven't looked into each of these things in detail. But so what is the water meter data used, could it be used for? So here's the hacker thought. We know it's supposed to be for, the primary purpose is to determine the bill to raise revenue to be the cash register. That's the first line here. Water conservation. So what if a company that sells water conservation devices gets the data and they find out that this area of the city just isn't doing it for water conservation? Whatever reason, they're just using too much water. The city's getting down on them, they're finding them, and the city just isn't doing it. But they get the data and they get all the names and addresses of everyone who's violating the regulation and just isn't listening. It's just using too much water. So that's your marketing, that's your mailing list or your email list. You send it out and say, hey, I got this device that'll let you comply with the city's regulations. Insurance companies, marketers, I just mentioned, law enforcers. I was discussing with someone at Black Hat about, could it be used for like a search warrant? Like if you're making meth in the house, that uses a lot of electricity and water. I can't find any examples that where that's been done, but he said he heard about something in the Bay Area of San Francisco or California where that may have been used. It did? Okay. Okay. Yeah, so it's happened. There's cases where electric use has been used by enforcers and also thermal imaging is a big case that's talked about a lot. Landlords, private investigators. So what if you're in a custody battle, you've got your daughter, you've kidnapped your daughter and I'm not condoning any of this, you've got her in the house and you're telling everyone, no, she's not here. And they look at the water use and they realize there's just too much water for one guy, And they use that as evidence. I'm just speculating here. But the thing is that the wireless water meters are about 7% of the utilities in Southern California. So a lot of this hasn't happened yet, but it will. Especially if this information is created and is out there and is stealable, like almost other, like credit card information. Creditors, criminals. So again, I think in most cases the electricity information is much more useful, but what if you don't have that? Boy, you got the water information. So you look at, you're casing out this house, this rich house, and all you can get is the water information. You're stealing it off the wireless water meter, and you see, okay, shower, you're seeing 100 gallons per person a day, then it goes down to zero. Of course, there's other ways to find out if someone's not there, but you never know for sure. So if you see the water use go down to zero or near zero, then you have a clue. So I don't think we're being paranoid. I mean, a lot of us here are concerned about security and privacy, and this is clearly a potential privacy issue where it's implemented. But it gets better. There's a device called HydroSense that researchers in Seattle area, University of Washington, have come up with, which is a simple, cheap, low-power device. You just attach it, not on the water meter, but on any pipe in the house, and it's wireless, so it could go over this backhaul over the same signal the water meter uses or not. And it can detect, it can find out after syncing it and checking it over a couple days, it can tell what fixture was turned on and for on and off and how long. Fascinating. There's a whole body of stuff out there. I could give a whole talk next time about remote sensing of human activity in the home. There's all these researchers who are just dying to find out, how can we find out what you're doing in your house without actually entering it? And as far as I can tell, they're being funded by the government. It doesn't appear to be the CIA or the NSA, but who knows? So since these guys came up with HydroSense a few years ago, other enterprising researchers have been improving it. So there's one called Water, which is self-powered by the water going through the pipe, I guess, or the vibration of the pipe. Then there's one that I probably don't have on the slide that uses the water meter because the equation they use, it uses the amount of water being going through the system, the flow to identify, it can go either backwards or forwards with the flow to the pressure hammer, to the change in pressure from turning something on or off. So this new generation of HydroSense takes information from the meter and a vibration sensor on the pipe nearby, and then it can find out the same information. So all these people worried about privacy from the water department just knowing how much water the whole house was using, well, guys, they can find out what you're using and when, and that could be potentially very interesting. So there's a lot of rich research in this area. They're looking at it for gas, which is obviously a more limited amount of appliances, you know, stove and, you know, water heater, you know, dryer, perhaps other things, but also electricity, which you don't really need if you've got the home area network because that's already doing all that. But what if you don't have a home area network and there are devices you can attach in your, for your electric grid in the house that do something similar? So it's just fascinating how much development there is in trying to find out what we're doing in our houses without us knowing it. So that really blew my mind when I said, oh, well, people are worried about privacy from just knowing how much water they use. Well, now they should really be worried if these things are attached. And these things can be attached surreptitiously too. I mean, you can just, if you get it into the house, you can attach this, set it up, power it on, and it'll be working. So in general, though, other vulnerabilities, looking at wireless water meters in general, one vendor tells us what frequencies they transmit on and tells us that there's no frequency hopping sped spectrum, which is their usual method of encryption or security, which breaks up the signal. So, it, you know, some packets will go on one sub-frequency, then another one, and there are different spectrum schedules that they go out on that are pseudo-random that only the sender and the receiver are supposed to know. Badger gives out its default network username and password and its wireless key. So I might go after them first. Transceivers can be purchased on eBay. I've got 5 or 6 at home I'm working on. So I'm trying to actually find the same one that I have at my house so I can take one apart and then, you know, apply that information to actually the sniffing. But most of them don't have encryption. Most of them don't have frequency hopping sped spectrum, which I briefly described, or DSSS, which is a similar technique to obscure the message, which again was, both of these were developed in World War II as a encryption, quote unquote, type method. But the good news is, while most of the manufacturers don't have encryption or good security, there are now more and more that are coming out with it. For example, one manufacturer refers to them as third generation, and here's a diagram of them here, where they don't need a battery. They reduce the amount of electricity to the minimum to only read the amount of water, but when they transmit it to the register, which then goes out over wireless, and they get it from the AC current in the house. And it's all built in. It's all one unit. A lot of water departments now are adding on the transceivers. And it's always a trick, you know, what model, you know, getting the models to match up and so on. And instead of having a nutating disc that mechanically, you know, goes around and around and then, you know, goes to the register, it's a purely electronic, system. And there's at least one manufacturer I found that actually says they have AES 128-bit and 256-bit encryption. That's not common at this point, but we're seeing them now for like the first time. There's still a lot of them out there that say frequency hopping sped spectrum is for security, and I'll get to that in a minute. Most of them are 900 megahertz, the 902 to 928 ISM scientific band, which makes it hard. I was hoping, I'll get to this in the second to last slide, to sniff a wireless water meter, and I haven't been able to do it because it's kind of hard to find off the shelf or even things I can put together easily to sniff 900 megahertz, mainly because that's cell phones, and I don't want to do, you know, wiretapping. So I'm working on it. But most use 900 megahertz and frequency hopping sped spectrum. Okay, so there are two researchers who have done proof of concepts or better for sniffing frequency hopping spread spectrum transceivers. Atlas Cutaway and Q, I believe they're from InGuardians, at ShmooCon 2011, talked about this in great detail and showed how using a CC1111, 900 megahertz model kit, they were able to crack the frequency hopping sped spectrum and read the signal. And Rob Havalt, who's speaking tomorrow morning, I guess, on Spiders Taking Over the Earth is what the title is, Black Hat Europe cracked it as well using a USRP, software radio peripheral. He used the peripheral 2 that he told me he set to listen in all frequencies at the same time. And because in this in the signals he was listening to, they used the same management frames that you see in 802.11. He was able to wait to find the management frame that told him the schedule for the frequency hopping, which is in the clear, of course, and then feed that back to some software he wrote to intercept it. So I haven't ponied up for a $1,500 USRP V2 yet, but when I do, I'll talk to him and replicate his method. That's not the easiest way to do it. I'm trying to come up with a low-cost way, but at least a way to start to actually see what's going on there. And I alluded a couple times. I was hoping to come here and say, here's how I sniffed my water meter, but I couldn't do it. I tried some ones that looked easy first, like the Amtel RZ600, which actually is advertised to listen in a number of frequencies and to have sniffer software for it, and they don't. So the next one is FunCube Dongle Pro, which comes out of England, and that's a software radio peripheral for like 64 to 1700 megahertz. But I got that like a week ago, and I haven't had tried to configure it yet. So I'm looking at a number of other things as well, and hopefully that'll be my talk next year at SMUCON earlier in the year, because it's possible to do this, but because it's 900 megahertz, they make it really hard. But the point is, it's not impossible. People have cracked FHSS before, and of course there is hardware to read 900 megahertz. So I'm going to be working on putting it together and show proof of concept, hopefully, for a man-in-the-middle attack. And wrapping up, I got the hook a few times. Water meters are an integral part of the national drinking water infrastructure. I won't read the rest of it, but the bottom line from my research is the major concern is privacy and surveillance, whether or not you have HydroSense. If you have HydroSense, that ups the ante quite a bit. Tampering with water meters is already something going on. This gives the bad guys or the homeowners yet another way to do it. And so, again, the purpose of this talk is to reveal what I know about vulnerabilities, so hopefully the manufacturers and the industry can use better practices and secure them so we won't have these vulnerabilities turn into real problems. And finally, this is a growth industry for water utilities as well as for hackers and evildoers. And if anybody wants my white paper where I talk more about this stuff in depth, email me at johnmcnabb@comcast.net. Thank you.